we really, really enjoy the sort of platform building, the trying to the build the audiences, and then once we've built the audiences, showing people how we did it.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And the tools that we use to do it, mm-hmm. and things like that. And that's what we kind of really got lit up over.
Boom, 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 boom.
What's up, everybody? You're listening to the Hustle and Flowchart podcast with your boys, Matt Wolf and Joe Fear.
Wiki.
We're back.
Hey.
We are.
What are we back from?
Lunch? No, not really. We had lunch hours ago.
Yep.
We're back from the last episode?
Oh, okay. Well, welcome, Matt, from the previous episode.
Yeah, we're here.
It's great to see you again. It's a fine day.
Ah. We got to do more stuff for the cameras.
Oh, that's right. We're not even looking at the camera.
No, we're not.
It's too focused on being back in the same, in the driver's seat of this podcast.
In the driver's
together
seat.
With y'all.
Yeah.
It good is, to have you.
It is kind of interesting because when we do this podcast now, we've got the camera there mm-hmm. and you're over here. And when I'm having a conversation, I feel like talking to the person I'm talking to, but I also don't want to ignore the fact that there's a camera there.
True. We always have someone in the room with us. We just got to, maybe we should put a mannequin type? That's weird. A face?
Is it really weird for us, though?
Maybe not for you. Maybe just a face. We need to put a face by the camera so it appears. Like, whose face should join us all the time in our podcast studio? Should get a little printout.
Who should who
cardboard
should be?
Cutout? Like, you know, like how the MLB games and the NFL games would have those.
Yeah, we could put guys. Tatis back there. He could be in the room with us. Fernando Tatis Jr.
That would be right cool. There. Yeah.
So now every once in a while we look at him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's do that. I think that'll work. We should try that.
Yeah.
All right, Tatis.
So if we're talking to the camera and we accidentally call you El Nino,
you'll know why.
All right. Enough with the baseball references that most people outside of San Diego probably don't get.
Well, you know, got to get yourself educated. He's a legend in the making.
So we're back with another no guest episode. I don't know. We need a new title.
We
got to
rename these.
Not therapy sessions. We're going to rebrand. We don't want to call them therapy sessions anymore. Because
we called them therapy sessions before just because that was our chance to kind of get stuff off our chest, I would say. You know, the good, bad, ugly, even though that's bad. Maybe is that worse than ugly, I guess? The good, bad, ugly.
I don't know.
I don't know. Shouldn't have said that.
It's a common phrase.
It is, but does it make sense? The ugly. Well, riffing on that, that was therapy session. It was just whatever was going on in our lives. We'd share it and things we were learning and thinking about.
Yeah.
We would put it out there. But I would say our individual episode should have more of a, I don't know, because we're going to go a little bit more focused on topics, you know, for these types of episodes.
Yeah, and this one is actually, so we've always released our no guest therapy session episodes as the last episode of the month every month, mm-hmm. but we're upping the frequency. So this is actually going to be a month where we have at least two.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Because we want to do more of these. We've got this studio and a cool light behind us right mm-hmm. here if you're watching the video. And so now we want to make more videos so people could see our light.
This is why we do this. We spent the hard hours in this studio to show off that thing.
There will be content in this episode. We'll eventually get to it.
Guaranteed.
So grab the notes. If you go to flowchartgroup.com, you can join our Facebook group. When you join our Facebook group, one of the questions they're going to ask is... There? Who's they? It's us. One of the questions we're going to ask is for your email address. If you give us your email address when you join the group, we will send you the action guide to this episode.
Yes.
So flowchartgroup.com, and you also get to join a badass group. So go do it.
It's a cool group. You should be there. All right. So yeah, today we're talking about, it's kind of revisiting a thought that we had last year.
And an old episode.
We had the number of the episode popped up there. So we'll just say it was episode number
239.
Are we going to edit that in later?
No, Jacob's just going to put his voice over.
It's just going to be Jacob's voice going 329 or whatever.
No, it was 268 maybe?
I
don't know.
I feel like I could look this up and save Jacob some time.
Jacob already figured it out. He already voiced it over. So you're
all right. I'm hopeful. On both the video and the audio?
Oh, the video, we'll link it below, I'm sure.
Okay.
It's in the description, all right?
It was from, I believe, January of 2020, back when everything was so bright and hopeful.
Yeah. Jeez, it's crazy. Like, we looked at it, it's like almost a time capsule for us. We're like, wow, that's how we were thinking. Little did we know a month or two later.
So what we're referencing is we had this episode called Unapologetic Affiliate Marketers Unapologetic Affiliate Marketing, mm-hmm. something like that. We recorded it back in January or February of 2019. We'll get the exact date in whatever, wherever you're listening to this or watching this. But we did this episode about affiliate marketing. And then over the next, you know, year and a half, we really implemented it early on. And then some of the stuff kind of faded and we started going in some other directions. And then just, what, 2 weeks ago, we were driving around. We decided to put that episode on and listen to it again as like a reminder of back at the beginning of 2020, where were we talking about taking our business before, you know, the earth went crazy, the world went
sideways.
Yeah, everything went crazy.
What was the thing that what was the catalyst to actually listen to that, though? That's what I'm trying to... Because I know we started talking about kind of 80-20, you know, looking that with that lens, like with everything we're doing in business. But I don't know. We just felt like we were doing a little bit too much again. It was becoming a little bit bloated of our actions in the company, our responsibilities.
Yeah. Well,
I think that was part of it.
That was part of it. I think we started to feel like we were putting too much on our plates again. But then also our buddy Josh Bartlett, who's the creator of ThriveCart, he had a conversation with us fairly soon after that episode came out, and he made a comment to us, and he's like, if you guys ever start to get like stressed out, or if you guys ever start to go off in different directions or start to question what you should be doing, he said, go listen to that episode that you guys did, probably. Because like you guys probably will need to hear that again in the future. And I remember Josh telling us that, and for whatever reason we were I mentioned that episode to you, and I'm like, I think I was on YouTube or something, and I found
came across
like
a your own episode.
I came across like a clip of it or something, and the clip I heard, I was like, oh, that was actually a really good clip. I want to listen to that whole episode, and I mentioned it to you, and you're like, we should listen to that episode.
I think we both talked about it because a lot of listeners told us that was their favorite episode. I think it was number one or number two of that list we made last year.
That was up
top
there.
2020 episodes. So, we're like, okay, I guess there was something gold in there. Like, because we kind of recorded that one off the cuff. Like, it was in a time where we were reflecting on our business. It was the beginning of the year-ish.
Yeah.
And I think we just got back from recording at WealthFit.
Yep.
That's a, it's a company, they've kind of changed a little bit, but we recorded in their studio about content marketing and driving leads and sales or something like that. And it was, but it was recorded for their platform.
Right.
So we were thinking about all this stuff. We're like, okay, cool. We really love creating content and teaching and giving content like this and doing the marketing of that, but we just don't want to like house everything, create the courses and run all that stuff that happens behind the scenes. And I think we recorded in your truck.
Yep, we did. We were at a lake. We were at Lake Murray.
Lake Murray. Yeah, that's right, in San Diego. And I don't know. It's just like, I think we just talked about this kind of thinking that we've had. Like, we just want to lean more into the promoters, being the marketers, and not having to kind of do everything and do all this admin stuff that, and like fulfillment and support and all this stuff that like we just didn't want to do or think about.
Well, really. What we realized, I think, around that same time, we were speaking at PodFest, we just did the thing with WealthFit. I think the day before had like a mastermind with our normal mastermind group.
That's right.
And like all of this stuff was happening, and like we just kind of had this realization of like, we don't really like being that much on the product creation side. We like being the curators. We like being the people who go and find the cool shit and then go, this is really exciting. You should be paying attention to this too. Like, we want to, we really, really enjoy the sort of platform building, the trying to build the audiences. And then once we've built the audiences, showing people how we did it.
Right.
And the tools that we use to do it and things like that. And that's what we kind of really got lit up over. And I think that episode was almost us in the moment as we were recording the episode coming to these realizations.
We were. It was all in the flow. I don't think we had a plan at all. But another trigger for that thinking, though, was talking with Josh Bartlett, remember? And it was all about basically how we did not think affiliate marketing was legitimate.
Yeah.
And that was actually a big piece that got us thinking about, actually even thinking about, like, that was what was preventing us from going, like, down the rabbit hole with affiliate marketing for years.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we wanted to go deeper and deeper on affiliate marketing, but we always felt this sense of like, but is that really a real business? I mean, there's people out there that will tell you that affiliate marketing is like a side
scam.
Gig.
It's a hustle or whatever. Yeah.
So, I mean, like obviously there's lots of different feelings about affiliate marketing out there. Sure. There are people out there that would go, affiliate marketing is a scam. I mean, I think we're kind of beyond that, where people have legitimized it past scam phase, because you got things like Amazon and stuff like that, that everybody's kind of an affiliate there now.
Yeah.
But there was this feeling of like it wasn't a real business. Like if we were to put all of our focus on to affiliate marketing and put all of our time and effort into promoting other people's products, then, you know, we're building up other people's businesses, other people's assets, other people's equity. And, you know, we're not getting a piece of the growth of that business. We're just getting a piece of the sales we're doing. And so there was like this kind of like, it doesn't feel like a legitimate scalable business. And a lot of, I think there was a lot of that kind of feeling going on, which had us very, very conflicted about the affiliate marketing path.
Yeah. And another was the stop and stopping or start and stopping of businesses or ideas and things, which affiliate marketing, you kind of have to, you know, you're constantly looking at what the trends are and the different solutions and all that. So yeah, I don't know. I think we were in our heads almost too much because that stuff was working and it's working. It still has, always has, but yeah, over 2020. So we did a lot of different things, I would say.
Yeah.
We didn't really need to, but we just saw, like, we started live streaming more. And that we did, what, like a 6-hour live stream, 7-hour? I don't know.
The first one was, 6 or 7 hours.
Something like that. So you peed in how many cups? I don't know. You had them all lined up under your table. It was weird.
I think we managed to get like an intermission in there and sneak away.
But yeah, like it just, and that was awesome. We had a lot of different opportunities pop up with speaking, all these virtual conferences everywhere.
We did a lot of summits over the last year and a half.
Yeah, we've not tallied them up, but it was like triple, quadruple the normal amount we would ever do probably.
Yeah.
So I don't know, all that kind of, I think, brought up a lot of different bloat, mental bloat in our company, I would say more than anything, because it would get us in different directions, planning for things like a different talk or, you know, whatever, maybe go do this thing over here, collaboration, you know, and it kind of got us away from just stay the course that was working and build our platform and keep stacking basically our systems, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, the reason this is kind of coming up again for us now was, this was literally last week. We were sitting around going, we really should kind of do the 80-20 analysis again. It's been a while since we've kind of looked at the 80-20 in our business. And we looked at it again, and the stuff that we've been spending almost all of our time on, all of our effort, has been the things that don't really generate a ton of revenue. And the 20% of things that are generating the most revenue in our business to this day is still affiliate marketing.
Right.
And so we started to kind of get off track and add all these other things into the mix and start to do some like partnerships and equity deals and all this kind of other stuff. And the next thing we knew, our time was kind of loaded up with tons of calls and we had all sorts of stuff going on and we started to get overwhelmed. And when we start to get overwhelmed, we start saying, well, let's do this 80-20 analysis. And that's essentially what happened. And the 80-20 analysis uncovered, like, look, the money's still coming from here. Why the hell are you focusing over here?
So when we listened to that episode, we actually, so Matt and I hopped in my car and we popped on that episode. I think we had ate some burritos or something during, we listened to this episode and I think it took us like almost 2 hours just to get through the episode because we kept pausing it and like, oh man, that guy's smart.
we were listening to the episode and we'd pause it and then discuss what we just talked about in the episode. It was like,
like we're freaking nerds,
it's
man.
It's a weird feeling to listen to a conversation between us, pause that conversation to have a conversation about the conversation that just happened between us.
I wanted to have a GoPro in the car or something just for like, these guys are crazy, man. Like, should we take them in 5150?
Yeah.
Crazy people. But how cool. It was almost like a, so going back to the therapy session thing, it was almost like a recording of our journals or something, a time capsule, you know? And, and it really was a point where we're like, okay, we actually had a kind of an ideal business model right there. And we were very close to it. We didn't have to do much. And, but we just kind of let it almost grow, you know, in ways that we didn't want that load on us.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I had a child, I still have a child, but she was a lot younger then. Pandemic was like all these other things, stressors in life, like were added during this time. So we're like, whoa, hold on. We're doing way too much across the board.
Yep.
Yeah. You were having the whole homeschooling stuff at your house. So there was never a quiet moment in any, either of our homes.
Nope.
So
there's a reason we're in a different location right now than what you used to see us in for our podcast.
Yeah, this was part of it, but this was only a little, this wasn't even on the vision because we were so freaking clouded in all this other stuff we were doing. And don't get me wrong, all these opportunities and speak, it was amazing. We learned so many things and connections up the wazoo. Mm-hmm. I mean, wouldn't trade it, but it we definitely kind of, we didn't really have a direction. Yeah. Like we kind of just went, but
we were, I mean, we were jumping on opportunities as they came, which is what we tend to do a lot of, is opportunities come our way and we go, oh, this could be good. There's some potential here. And then, you know, we get going with it and it doesn't pan out the way we want. And then we look back at like what was working that we had been neglecting because we decided to see if this was going to pan out. And then the thing that we neglected, the income comes down from that. And the thing that we had no idea if it was going to pan out or not doesn't make up for the difference. So next thing we know, we're like, okay, well, this was working and we kind of ignored it and now it's not working. And this new thing is also not working as well as we want it to be. So it's just a net shit.
A net shit.
Yeah, net shit.
Interesting. I was like, I think I actually followed along with that whole thing you just did.
Yeah, there was a little bit of a
flow chart.
There was a little bit of a rant there, but I think it was sort of coherent.
I'm sure there'll be a nice wire-framed out map.
Ending in a net shit.
Sue probably did a sketch for this.
Yeah.
Or Jacob. I know, Jacob, you read that sketchbook.
Basically, what I'm saying is the upside of pursuing these potential opportunities never made up for the downside of neglecting the existing ones.
So it was a net, it was a net even. Yeah.
Yeah. Or a net shit.
Net shit. Well, what do we do? So all that to say, this big intro, 16 minutes now, we basically said, hey, like in the last year, we've done a lot of stuff that we didn't think that we would do, like basically January, like the previous episode we're referencing.
Mm-hmm.
So we revisited that because we felt it was time.
Yep.
We've been putting everything in our lives under a magnifying glass. You know, the right things, not everything. That'd be just getting weird. So, but I think like we're seeing these patterns though in ourselves as a business and us as like what we enjoy as people, individuals, and just the things that we don't want to do at all, like, or even have a mental load on us. Like even if it's not physically us doing, we just don't want to think about it.
Yeah.
So that's where we're just chopping stuff. And we got back to this. Why do we need to know how to run a business like a bigger thing when we can just be really good marketers and really good platform builders, like build the downloads and the listeners here on podcasts? Now we're doing the more YouTube focused stuff with the videos. Mm-hmm. So that's growing and the attention, like the engagement's getting really good now. And we have some plans to really go much better, you know, deeper down that rabbit hole. So that's a huge builder of platform, you know, like instead of building products, which we did do that over the last, you know, 12 months or so.
Yeah.
And, but we have a reframe there as well. It's a pod hacker.
Yeah.
Know? So yeah. What's the game plan now, Matt? Because like, what are some lessons? Like, so maybe we talk about the 80-20.
Yeah.
Like what we've been, so what's the question that, you know, you've been asking yourself, because you brought it to me, this whole thought again of like, hey, let's look at a few things as an 80-20, because it's all action-based, you're telling me.
Well, I mean, so the 80-20 of, like, what are the 80-20 of actions that generate results? That's kind of what you're getting at. Like, so we looked at 80-20 in multiple different ways in our business, right? Like, what is the 80-20 of what we're spending our time on? What is the 80-20 of what's generating our revenue? And also, what is the 80-20 of, like, actions that actually generate revenue? And what we figured out when we started doing this analysis is that there's actually very few actions that actually lead to the revenue, right? We're doing a lot of actions, right? In a given week, there's 100 different actions combined that we're doing, right? But when we actually look at the actions that generate revenue, like if I mail my list today, right now, we're going to make some sales, right? If we mail the list to Podhacker, mail the list to an affiliate offer, we will make income today. It's pretty much guaranteed that's an action that will make money.
Yeah.
When we go to one of our Facebook groups, like the Hustle and Flowchart or the Podhacker group, and we were to make a video explaining why everybody needs a tool that, you know, that we've been using and really like, that action will make us money. We know pretty much with a pretty good certainty that if we did that today, we would make money from that today, right? And so that analysis of what specific actions, if I did them now, would generate money, right? But then we also had to look at, you know, what is the 80-20 of actions that also build our audience? Because those first ones that I mentioned, don't work if you don't have an audience,
right?
Right? Yeah. If I mail my list, it's not guaranteed to generate sales if I'm not constantly building an audience or I have no list to mail it to, mm-hmm. right? If we're posting a video to Facebook, that doesn't work if you don't have a Facebook group with some people in it, right? So like we need to figure out the 80-20 of actions that build the audience, the 80-20 of actions that actually generate revenue off the audience. And once we figure that out, we've basically now get to automate, delegate, or yep. figure out what things we're going to do.
Systems between those, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, and, it's really, yeah. And that was the focus of 80-20 and yeah. basically looked at our business with that lens, those two questions, basically.
Yeah, so it kind of came down to if we can put focus into growing the audience, like like a big piece of our time and energy goes to getting on other people's podcasts, doing summits, figuring out Facebook ads to an opt-in page that grows our list, you know, all of these types of things, mm-hmm. speaking on stages, things like that that grow our audience. Those are actions that are valuable and worth our time because mm-hmm. they build the audience that we can then promote things to. And then actions like, you know, putting offers in front of people in the form of an email list and the form of YouTube videos and the form of videos to our groups, things like that. Those are the actions that actually generate money off of these audiences. And our business could really be as simple as that.
Sure.
Right.
If we choose it to be.
Yeah. So.
So, yeah, I mean, we looked at that and we're looking at, you know, some other things like sponsoring the podcast again. So mm-hmm. we had some folks reach out recently. So that's something we'll bring back in. All this to say is it kind of allows us to free up a lot of energy in tons of ways.
Yeah.
Time and mental energy and freedom, mm-hmm. you know, just like not having to think about a bunch of different separate projects. So. If you've ever felt, you know, that you're ever spending too many plates, well, you probably are.
Yeah.
you know, so there's probably some simple systems or, you know, what was it? Aaron Fletcher's KAD method, mm-hmm. kill, automate, delegate.
That's it.
So going through everything and kind of looking at those lenses, it's kind of nice. So that's what we've been doing. With that, we chose to make some changes with Podhacker. Mm-hmm. So that was a thing. So with Podhacker, you know, we released that a few months ago.
March.
And. Yeah. Yeah, so March-ish of this year, and that's been really, really cool. We've been optimizing things along the way. We haven't really done, you know, like big promotions with affiliates and whatnot. It's been more of like an internal thing, getting a lot of feedback, and now we've made a pivot just last week mm-hmm. of the price point. Basically, frame it more for a one-time instead of a you know an ongoing membership.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea there is to let's simplify things there as well. And, you know, in terms of, you know, a lot of the fulfillment when it comes to a subscription or a membership type of offer.
Yeah.
It's like we still want to be, you know, the ones that show people this opportunity to join the Podhacker. We have some other cool stuff with Podhacker that's not a product as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's more content based. But our idea is like, how can we be the marketers of Podhacker and not the everything of Podhacker,
yeah.
which is like where being a product owner, you know, kind of lies as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that was the thing we decided last week to like, hey, let's just make this change ASAP.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's just going to benefit the customers. It's going to benefit us.
Yeah.
The same stuff is going to exist in there for the most part and it should be good.
Yeah. Well, with Podhacker, we made the decision. We're kind of dancing around it, but the decision to go lifetime with it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so
I didn't say that.
No.
Oh, my bad.
I thought you were trying to open a loop for them.
No, my bad. I meant to say that. Yes. So it's lifetime for what? $4.99.
Yeah.
At least the time of this recording.
So Podhacker, we went from either monthly or an annual fee to it's just a lifetime offer now. And we're still going to do, you know, monthly additional videos and trainings all the time for people. But we kind of had this realization that when it comes to Podhacker, there's a couple types of people that would be interested in buying Podhacker. We're still circle back around to the affiliate marketing stuff in a minute, but I figured I'll just kind of explain this real quick. But when it comes to Podhacker, the types of people that come to Podhacker are either people that don't have a podcast yet and they want to learn how to start it, but they want to learn how to start it with systems and frameworks and have it just like dialed in. Like we're basically giving people a plug and play podcast system with all the email templates and, you know, show notes templates and all that kind of stuff, right? So the beginner can come in and just basically plug and play what we've already built. So that's the first type of person, mm-hmm. right? The second type of person is somebody that's already got a podcast, but maybe they haven't quite figured out how to grow the podcast. They've plateaued with download numbers, or they already have a podcast but haven't made any money, right? Like 80%+ of podcasts don't make any money. So maybe they've got a podcast and the downloads are decent, but they haven't figured out how to monetize it, right? So there's the beginner and then the people that already have a podcast but are struggling either monetarily or in the growth department. Now, with Podhacker, the issue that we saw with it was that the first type, the beginner podcaster, is going to get in there, figure out what they need to start a podcast, get their podcast launched, and now the itch is scratched. They're probably not going to continue to pay the $49 a month or, mm-hmm. or the annual fee. The ones that already have a podcast, well, when you get inside of Podhacker, there's, you know, what, 30+ different strategies to grow your podcast and, you know, 10 or 12 plus strategies to monetize your podcast. So those types of people are going to get in there, learn a ton of strategies to grow and a ton of strategies to make money. And cool, now that itch is scratched, right? Mm-hmm. They kind of, I've got my work cut out for me. I've got 30 different marketing tactics I can test to grow my podcast. So I'm going to, we've literally had people email us and say, hey, can I pause my subscription? Can mm-hmm. I cancel it? I want to go implement and then come back and learn more of this kind of stuff, right? Those types of people never come back. We kind of know that. But,
yeah. It's just like, it just puts like an extra pressure on customers and folks trying to learn something and implement things and feel like they're under a timer, you know, to maybe do this within the next month's rebill.
Yeah.
You know?
And I want to get in before, I want to get this finished before it rebills me $49 and I got to like go even deeper. But so we decided, let's just make it simple, a simple, easy decision. One time, it's under $500. You learn, you get all of our systems, all of our frameworks, all of the templates, everything we've built. I feel like I'm pitching it now and I didn't, that was not my intention.
Get it.
So you get everything, and then all of the monthly calls with experts and stuff like that is just kind of bundled in. That's a bonus of paying the one-time fee to mm-hmm. be a member. Now, we might change our minds and go back to monthly
maybe, or annual later. But, you know, as it stands right now, this is the way of thinking, and this is how we're always going to probably be because, you know, in terms of like, we're just going to keep testing stuff.
Yeah.
But based off of feedback, this seems like something that will benefit more people than not.
Yeah.
So and it seems like a good test.
And if you're a Podhacker member and you're listening to this and you're going, hey, that's not
fair. We're hooking you up, man. Come on. It's all good.
You have the option, right? If you bought the annual and you already paid $4.99 for the annual, we're just not going to rebill you anymore. So you're a lifetime member. So congratulations, annual members. You're already a member. The ones that are monthly, we've been emailing you saying, hey, upgrade to lifetime. Upgrade. Here's the link. Upgrade to lifetime. So you've been getting a link to upgrade to lifetime at a discount. So look out for those.
Yeah.
All right. That's enough pitching Podhacker. I didn't mean to pitch Podhacker. I just got excited about talking about it. It's
going to help more people, Matt. I'm happier telling folks. So, Podhack. I mean, the big thing there, I'd say the takeaway, and we even talked to Eric Huberman mm-hmm. on the podcast. He's it probably came out already, or maybe not. But look out for Eric Huberman.
I don't think it has, actually.
Runs a big old marketing agency, very successful, hundreds of millions of dollars per year, or it's worth that, I think. But mm-hmm. basically, this guy's got this thing down. He basically said, if you're really good at marketing, you don't need to do the other stuff. Like, that's why he created an agency. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, really good marketing agencies, you really don't need to have a product or anything like that because that becomes a whole entity in itself, mm-hmm. like kind of managing a product, a whole new brand and all that stuff. Like there's a lot of stuff to it. Mm-hmm. And that's just, we want to reframe Podhacker and to be more like something that we can promote. So mm-hmm. We want to bring creators into Podhacker to help us with the monthly trainings or the other content that we put in there to update things mm-hmm. and take us out of the doing of a lot of the fulfillment, you know, and really get a lot of other folks supporting people in the community, you know, the Facebook group. So mm-hmm. that's where we want to then just be the folks that, you know, make connections to bring affiliates in here to help promote Podhacker, bring it out to new crowds and continue to do speaking and podcasts and stuff like that. But we can now just shine a light on Podhacker, not have to kind of do all the other fulfillment stuff that doesn't really light us up.
Yeah. Well, at the end of the day, we're building systems as promoters, not product creators.
Totally.
And so as we build out systems to promote stuff using Facebook ads, Google ads, SEO, YouTube, you know, all these various platforms that we're building up, as we build out the systems in these platforms, we just want Podhacker to feel like just all the other mm-hmm. you know, stuff that we're adding to the mix. So like when we're promoting Thrivecart for a week, and then maybe next week we're promoting Podhacker for a week, and then next week we're talking about ConvertBox. And, you know, these are kind of like some of our favorite tools that we talk about, but Podhacker is just kind of in the mix now.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's in the content calendar. So we're systemizing things like that much more. I know that's a big addition that has, we're about to do a this is kind of like what we're doing now. This is just a little glimpse of, you know, it's basically really planning out everything, you know, well in advance. So no need to go into detail now. Mm. You know, let's just say that we haven't been as organized going forward like months and months ahead as it might have appeared.
Yeah. Sometimes with the podcast, interviews, different. That's yes. different. This yes. one we're usually like pretty far ahead, but all the video yeah. content and blog posts and like some of the email promotions and Facebook group promotions and all that kind of stuff. I wish I could
we
say
have
we
schedules. Were, yeah. So we have schedules for most of the stuff, but like we want to go deeper because yeah. we have a team and we love our team. We want to empower them to help us too and help themselves and, you know, create more value here. Like there's a lot of stuff that we just weren't on the same page with everything, mm-hmm. you know? And I think this, and you know, Joe Kearns, I know is helping us a lot here as well. Mike Alvarez and
yeah.
and just our whole team. So
Magic Boys.
The Magic Boys.
With, spelled B-O-I-Z.
Yeah, yeah.
Boys.
Boys! So it's cool to kind of, it feels like we're just cinching everything up here, yeah. you know, as a business. So the content calendar is going to help us figure out those promotions. It's going to see where the podcast is, you know, in there. The YouTube channel will be putting a lot more, you know, focus on that, I would mm-hmm. say. Other than that, I mean, it's just kind of rinse and repeat, you know, going down the affiliate path more and more so.
Yeah.
And being the promoters of everything, essentially.
Yeah. I mean, we really like building platform, right? Like we said this on the last time we did this discussion at the Unapologetic Affiliate Marketers, that first episode, we really, mm-hmm. really talked about this then too. But like we like to be platform builders, we like to be curators, and we like to just like we like toys and gadgets and stuff, but our toys and gadgets are typically marketing software, right? But we come across these toys and we go, this is so cool. Like we just did one with conversion.ai, uh-huh. which was a, Joe made a really cool video in the new studio where he was showing off all the cool features and the ways we use it and stuff. And you know, that's what we love doing. That's
yeah.
like, that was a blast, you know, like
it was a cool, yeah, you were there.
I wasn't actually in the video, no, but I was like,
it was a blast.
It was a blast doing that promotion, making the landing pages, putting the videos up, getting the email sequence dialed in. So let's walk through that
actually. Yeah. Because maybe this is a cool little, you know, like just a little
open case study.
Yeah. Of like literally something we just did last week.
Yeah.
And we pulled together within a week or so and involved what, three of us?
Mm-hmm.
I think
me, you, and Kearns.
Yeah. And so we pulled that off, and so let's lay the scene. Basically, yeah, it was a conversion.ai promotion. Mm-hmm. You know, Kearns was telling us, Joe Kearns mm-hmm. was telling us, hey, you guys should really push this out there because it's an amazing product. We use it. Mm-hmm. He uses it. You know, we first saw it from Sean Vossler, who's been a you know a guest on here. Mm-hmm. He's a great copywriter, phenomenal storyteller, and he was you know swearing by it. I'm like, damn, okay,
yeah.
So, yeah. So we were like, okay, well, let's do that. So what Joe Kearns kind of came up with this whole email campaign, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was him that did he build the campaign first and essentially told us what to do.
Yeah.
Like he's like, okay, so here's how I would frame out the video, you know, the email sequence and all that. But there's going to require one video, which is like kind of a training teaser video kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me pretty much what to say and what a framework looks like for education in that video.
Yeah.
So it's not only going to show off this cool new tool, but it's going to show kind of our process for creating copy and email copy specifically.
Yeah. So it's not just here's a pitch for conversion.ai. It's actually education. Like check out all the cool stuff you can do. Here's how we would use it. So now you're getting like this actual like use case for it before you even buy. You know why I would want to buy it as well.
It's like a KST.
Yeah. So it's basically a video version of a KST. Yeah.
Yeah. A key step tutorial. And this is a cool framework that Matt created years ago is essentially is you're teaching a really cool process and a way to shortcut, you know, maybe save money, save time or whatever is to use this little tool. Or you could do it the old fashioned manual way and get a bunch of monkeys typing on keyboards around the whole room. Or
is that what they used to do in the old days?
Yes. that's what the movies say, at least. You know, you can duplicate efforts faster with blah, 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 this WYSIWYG tool. So, yeah, I mean, that's a KST basically, and that's what that video basically was.
Yeah.
So like, basically,
here's a cool tutorial on how to do something that you're going to want to do in your business. Oh, by the way, you're not going to be able to complete all the steps in this tutorial without this product. So, right. Make sure you go get that product. That's kind of the KST really in a nutshell.
Yeah. Super effective strategy you can use in different modalities. This is the first time I think I've done it in video form, But
maybe we've done some with like videos and stuff.
That's true. Yeah, I guess we do it a lot.
The brand videos.
Yeah,
videos.
So it was. So I got to give props to Joe Kearns for creating the framework for that. But maybe Matt, you can break down like on the email side what that looks like. Like overview. Like what was that campaign?
Yeah. So the very first piece of this email sequence was just a piece of content talking about automated copywriting. There wasn't a link in it. There was no link to Joe's video. There was no link to our affiliate link. It was just pure content. And then actually, no, I'm wrong. There was one link in it, but the link basically said, if you're interested in learning about this topic more, click here. And if they clicked here, it literally just took them to a page that said, thanks for letting us know.
Right. And you had a couple of related content pieces. Yeah.
There was a couple podcast episodes that I linked to that were like, if you're into copywriting, here's some other podcasts you can listen to. But for the most part, the page existed to say, thank you for letting us know. Mm-hmm. Right. And then when you clicked, I'm interested in this, it triggered off a multi-day email sequence that promoted conversion.ai over the next few days. So basically,
we got them to raise their hand in email, and that's all we were doing in that first email.
Yeah,
that
was the
entire
email,
intention right there.
Yeah, because the way we're going with our email list is we don't want to promote something to you that you're definitely not interested in. So we're going to put a piece of content in email first and kind of say, hey, is this something you'd be interested in? If you don't do anything with the email, we just assume, okay, no, this isn't something they're interested in. But if you click the link in the email, we now know, okay, copywriting, for instance, is something that this person's interested in. And now it moves them into a multi-day email sequence where we are mailing to this tutorial video that Joe made about using conversion.ai. So email one, raise your hand, let us know if you're interested. Email two, after you've clicked it, is cool. Here's essentially the video of how we use it and why we use it and why we think you should use it. The next day was kind of an email saying, hey, did you watch this video yet? Here's the link again. There's obviously a lot more copy to it than that, but this is sort of the really bare bones. And then the final day of the email sequence, we just direct the link to the affiliate link. It's essentially like, okay, you've seen the videos already. We've talked about it enough. Here's the tool. Here's the direct link to the affiliate link. So the final day's email, the final email in this sequence goes around, you know, you have to watch this video and then you can click our affiliate link and it goes straight to the affiliate link. So the last day when we do that is actually the highest sales day because we've seeded it with content for a little bit. Yeah. And now we're just driving them straight to where they can buy it.
Yeah. So this little 4-day email sequences are always freaking effective.
Yeah. I mean, and I might have made that sound more complicated than it really is, but it's really there.
Well, let's recap it really fast. Like, what's the 80-20? So you start off by raising their hand, basically. It's just in that first email. It's just getting them to click a button that tags them.
So there's one email that if they click it, it tags them as copywriting interest, right? If they get that tag, then it starts a multi-day sequence where you know, fairly soon after they click that first link, they get another email that says, here's a video, go watch this. The next day, here's a video, go watch this. I even think the next day, here's that video again. So I think it's got like 3 days of sending them to the video. And then on the final day, it direct links them to the affiliate link. But really, all that we really built was, you know, five emails, one video, and then a landing page that the video is embedded on and has a buy link below it. That's it. That's all we had to create.
And it's effective.
Yeah.
It's effective. It's working. The promotion's running and it's actively getting more trialers. It's like a trial kind of thing. So not a lot of buyers up front, but there's new trialers every single day since launching that. And it's been definitely longer than the promotion has been sent.
Yeah. So, we haven't emailed it in a couple of days and we've had sales even over the last few days not mailing to it.
Right. Exactly. So it's just thinking of the framework here is like, okay, now that was the email framework that we're more or less going to run with. Mm-hmm. Let's say that's our 80-20 framework for emailing a new offer out there.
Yep.
And this goes for any offer. It's like gauge the interest, get them raising their hand, and then, you know, take them down, show them some really good content, and then give them an offer. Mm-hmm. Something that they're interested in. So,
and it's duplicatable. It's just a framework completely. That we just go, boom, let's plug a different product in, you know, tweak the emails a little bit, clone the landing page, just duplicate the same page we already built, but swap out the video.
It's no problem. So then now we get, so let's see here, where are we at? Because I want to talk about the audience, because that's going to be something, you know, building the platform. Let's maybe bookmark that for a second, because duplicating this, well, is there anything else we should chat about actually about
on that sequence?
Yeah, on this sequence.
I mean, it's so simple. Study, there's not a whole lot.
That's about it. Yeah, I know. I'm like, there should be more to this, but I don't think there is.
No, you got the raise your hand email, the video that you made, the landing page with the video embedded, and then just sort of multiple days of emails. That's it. That's
so all the freaking sequence. This is a I think this strategy right here, this email strategy and this, you know, create a video, anyone who has an email list should try this.
Yeah.
Maybe not with conversion.ai, but with something.
That's our thing. You're not allowed to promote it.
Go try it. But think about how easy that really is. It's four or five emails, but within a 4-day period.
Mm-hmm.
And you're creating one video.
Yeah, and one landing page.
And a landing page. Yeah. It's insane. Well, a thank you page and a landing page. So two pages, I guess, right?
Yeah, but the thank you page could be a generic page that just says, thanks for letting us know.
Oh, okay. So yeah, email, there you go. So you got to create just a handful of assets, a 4-email, 5-email sequence, and then you're in the affiliate game. So a lot of folks that reach out to us and like, how would I start as an affiliate marketer? Like, this is it, man. Like, if you have a following, especially an email list, and people are interested in something you promote to them,
yeah,
and can create content around legitimately and give value and all that stuff, but shit, this is a pretty sweet little affiliate promotion for any kind of company to try.
Yeah.
I mean, even like a brick and mortar company, I was just thinking of, for some reason, my friend Dan Driscoll popped in my head. I'm like, he literally owns a wool company in Morocco in the mountains. Like, and he can do this because I know he has an email list and he can definitely do this for something that's related to his audience.
Yeah.
And solve a problem and make money as an affiliate marketer, even if like your business is struggling right now from, you know, COVID or whatever it might be going on in the world for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I just like, this is a cool strategy for everyone. At least like, hey, I mean, boost the income a little bit there.
This exact flow that we're talking about here, conversion.ai was our first test. So we haven't tested yet to see if, okay, let's see if the same result happens in other products.
Let's take a step back though, because we've done 4-day promo type things like this a lot.
We have.
We just happen to be doing this around this style of, you know, promotion.
Yes, it's true, but we've never really done it in this method where we send out a piece of content, get them to raise their hand first through email, and then send them down a sequence of
separate emails. Usually we're doing that through content.
Yeah, that's something we've only started playing with. Yeah, we've done that through advertising in the past where if they click this ad to this piece of content, then retarget them to these offers. That's basically what our PAG formula was. But in email, we've only started experimenting with this since Joe Kearns has been kind of working with us.
Yeah.
And that's where we'll send a piece of content in an email. And if they interact with that email, then we go, okay, this is them raising their hand on this topic. Now let's put them in this sequence. And now over the next 4 days, they're going to see this series of offers.
Got it.
Yeah.
All right. We'll report back before I get too excited.
But I do think it's going to be duplicatable. I think I'm pretty much anticipating similar results with most offers that we plug in here.
Yeah.
You know, obviously the offer has to resonate with the audience. That's
probably the key thing right there.
Yeah.
It needs to be attractive, solving the problem.
Like if we made the video around like Fleshlight or something.
Whoa.
I don't know if our audience would appreciate
it. You know, it's welcome everywhere.
Yeah.
Anyone. Any household, right?
Yeah.
That's not one of the sponsorships that reached out to us, by the way.
No, but they used to sponsor Rogan, I think.
I remember hearing those ads. And they sounded awkward. I don't... Yeah.
Yeah. But so some of the other things that we're testing don't have a ton of results yet is like we want to do more on YouTube with affiliate marketing. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we're going to do there is we're going to like pick a product that we want to promote and then just think of every possible question people can ask on that product and just make a video for it.
Mm.
Right. Mm-hmm. So we want to test something like that. We also want to do more live streaming to our Facebook group and to our YouTube channel. So we're going to be doing a lot more with live streaming where we kind of demonstrate how we use various software tools. Mm-hmm. In fact, we're planning on doing one with conversion.ai where we stream to our YouTube and our Facebook and we literally walk through in real time on a live stream. Here's us messing around with conversion.ai. So we'll see how that stuff kind of plays out. But it all comes back around to this sort of mental focus, not just the focus in the sense of like how many things am I doing on a daily basis. If there's too many in the mix, then I get overwhelmed. There's that element of it as well. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason we're cutting back on a lot of things, but there's also this element of like the sort of subconscious. And we talked about this on our last episode where we had this discussion, is that if I'm all in on affiliate marketing, my subconscious is kind of constantly thinking of new ideas to be a better affiliate marketing. A better affiliate marketer. But if I'm, you know, if I've got all of these different products and all of these different companies that I'm advising and actually have to give input on and all of these affiliate products as well, and we're trying to do all of these different things, my brain, when it's at rest, is, you know, trying to solve problems in multiple mm-hmm. different directions, where if I basically cut out a bunch of other shit that we're working on, now my brain gets to focus on how do I just solve problems in this sort of narrow area of affiliate marketing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just clearing your mind for things to kind of percolate up.
Yeah.
And yeah, because we know we've done this before. I mean, we've done this a lot unconsciously throughout our, you know, our time working together, I'd say. But it's just, I think it's a nice little check to just always look at what our actions are. Mm-hmm. I mean, kind of going back to the whole 80-20 from the beginning too. Like, if we're just always auditing what our actions are, then, you know, we can figure out what's the shit we can cut. So our subconscious, all the thinking power, like at night or just when we're just taking a walk down the street or something, you know, you might have some idea. You're like, oh shit, I should try that or make that video or do some affiliate promotion over here, you know, figure out, I don't know, some joint venture kind of arrangement. I mean, there's some creative thing. This is how my brain works. It's like it will pop up with some, I don't know, I got to reach out to this person and there's something I could do for them over here or, you know, and it's like this weird triangle of connections happening. We're like, oh, mm-hmm. wait, and that created some new opportunity to promote something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know, I'm just kind of getting out. I feel like it gets like a lot more organic with the thinking of like we have a structure for knowing where all this shit's gonna go in our business.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And that all comes down
around like we're to just this doing too much shit, so just cut the rest of the stuff off.
Yeah. Yeah. And we are getting very dialed in now with our content calendar. This is something we haven't built out as much as we want to as of yet, but we are building it soon. So we'll report back with how that goes, but we're going to be building out this a better content calendar than what we have been using to better understand what days are going to put new videos on YouTube and what video that's going to be and what days various emails are going to go out and, you know, what assets we need to create to make sure that those emails can go out, landing pages and videos. And we're going to get this content calendar dialed in so that, you know, for the month of June, for example, I know for the next 4 weeks, this is what's coming out every day. So if I want to get way ahead of it, I could crank out 10 videos mm-hmm. all in the first week of June so that all of our content is ready to go for the whole entire month. Mm. You know, and that content calendar is going to give us that sort of peace of mind and that very systematic way to always be on the same page with everybody in the team and everybody that's, you know, Joe mm-hmm. who's writing emails and Jacob who's helping edit videos and audios and Joe and I who are creating videos and landing pages and things. Everybody will always be on the same page with what's coming out next and what items need to be done by that time so that they can be released on time. And we're going to get that shit dialed the F in. And I'm so excited to have that all finally dialed in.
Starting to work. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's inching that way there.
But yes.
Yeah. It's freeing on the mind. That's for dang sure.
Yeah.
And this place will become more of a creative studio rather than
a prison of our minds.
A prison of our own minds.
No, I don't know what that means.
I don't know either. Like, it's always felt really cool in here. Yeah, actually,
I love coming in here.
Yeah. But I mean, just in general, it's just a good feeling when I feel like we have a better grasp of what we're doing day to day.
Yeah.
In the business, when this is just, I don't know. It's not like business is life and never will be. That was never the intention. This is just a tool to have a great life.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think like we can definitely get pretty complicated in business because we get so damn excited about a lot of things. And we talk to a lot of people on this podcast. So that sometimes doesn't help when we're in that mindset.
Yeah.
You know, because we know there's like this kind of ebb and flow with our minds. So
I mean, everybody we talk to, we're like, yeah, we want to do what you're doing now too. You know, like,
whoa.
Yeah, but we don't. But yeah, it's been interesting being in this new space because I was actually a little concerned when we got the space mm-hmm. of like, I don't know, I kind of like being at home and, you know, just kind of like popping away and, you know, hanging out with the family for a little mm-hmm. bit here and then going back to the office and getting some stuff done and just kind of floating around the house. And I was afraid that dynamic would disappear when we moved in here. Mm. But it's actually been it's been nice actually, because it's like when I need to get away and have a quiet space to work, we've got this place. When we need to get on videos together, we've mm-hmm. got this place. When we need to record content, we've got this place. If I'm just checking emails or responding to the team on Slack or, you know, doing some basic responding to questions inside of our Facebook groups or something like that, I don't need to come in here, mm-hmm. right? Like I could just do that from the house and hang around at home. So, I mean, as the first month in the building, like I think literally today is our first
month. Yeah.
As of the day that we're recording this. And so far, I think I've come in maybe 3 days a week on average each mm-hmm. week. Yeah, and then like the same for us, a couple days a week, I don't even come in. I'll just work from home and hang out with the family and eat lunch with the family. And I feel like I thought this would create less balance between work and home, but I feel like it's actually improved the balance.
Yeah, it's 100% improving mine as well at home. Up until, well, it was on Friday, last Friday at the time of this recording, I just decided to finally move all my stuff from the home office I had into this one here. And, you know, basically just unfolded a bunch of stuff in my house, brought it here, and I was like, I just got to wipe the slate clean at home, because I'm kind of like, I felt caught in between here in this office, the studio, and then the at home. I'm like, where do I spend my time and my energy? So I'm just like, I just want to clean everything up anyway. And just like, I just threw away so much stuff. I go through this purge session as well. It's almost like the ebb and flow again, you know? So my wife and I, you know, we did that. And now she literally, as I was here that day on Friday, she moved into my old office. And like, it's been just moving stuff around. But it's really cool, because now it's a lot more clarity on my mind and knowing, okay, when am I going to work and when can I just kind of turn it off?
Yeah.
I haven't totally turned it off yet, but I feel like I can contain.
And sometimes more. We can even come here and turn it off too. Like before we were recording today, we actually hung out and watched the Padre game.
Sure. You know? It was a day morning game they lost. Bummer. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's cool to have just a, you know, have some laughs. Your kids came over, Alana came over. So, I mean, that's really what we wanted, is just kind of this, all right, this is the workspace, creative studio, we're going to get it done. You know, most of the calls for me, I'm going to try to do them all here.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's great because like with this pandemic, everyone wants to, you know, it was on Zoom all the time.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's lovely now where a lot of people just want to do phone calls. I'm like, perfect. Yep. I'm like, I'm just going to go for a drive or something.
And there's walking streets by our studio
too.
We've
been last walking on Friday. A lot.
And we have like great food places and walking distance. Like I've actually really, really been enjoying kind of the split. Like, we'll be back here tomorrow. Tomorrow's our Tuesday, Wednesday, we're not coming in.
No.
Wednesday's like, we almost have like a midweek weekend now. So we work Tuesday, Thursday, Wednesday.
That's true.
We might get like little bits of things done here and there.
But we still do stuff Wednesday, but it's like you said, it's at home. Like Wednesdays have become my watch McKenna or hang out with her all day, my daughter.
Yeah.
And like, I'm still like, you know, in the morning and evenings. You know, it's kind of,
so
it's nice. It contains the time. And I think it just gets us to get our shit done faster than we ever did before.
Yeah, and I think when we come in here too, there's like a productivity boost, right? Like we've had more sort of in-depth conversations about where we should take the business over the last couple weeks than, you know, we were able to have before. And I feel like we've gotten like real clear on like, okay, we kind of know what we're doing and where we're going and what the next focuses are now. And I think that's a product of us kind of being together more often in the same place.
Yeah.
And then also when it's quiet and there's nobody else here, like it's so easy to just like crank through emails and crank through all the Slack messages and respond to some things in our Facebook groups. And just like, even like all the quick stuff is like just so much faster here. It just feels like there's no other distractions popping in all the time.
You know? Yeah. Well, there aren't. That's what helps. Yeah. It's there's a lot of cool things that have happened, but it's early days, only 1 month in, but now let's wrap this puppy up, huh? Let's
do it.
So recap, what are we going to do? We're going to be more unapologetic affiliate marketers.
We're going to,
super de-duper 2021.
We're going to be who we said we were going to be.
Yes. That's all we recorded this episode for, just to confirm. Oh, yeah. That's who we wanted to be like. Those guys back in 2020, back in, you know, January, February time.
Yeah. I think based on 2020, we can give ourselves some grace, but.
No. Yeah. No. We're leaning into our promoter selves. We're going to have a lot more fun. That's literally like the credo here, is everything needs to be entertainment first. If we're not having fun or getting too serious, just stop.
Yeah.
It's not worth it. Don't take ourselves seriously.
Yeah. And build some systems, build the content calendar, get back to what the way, I feel like several years ago when we first kind of started this up, we were like the most systematic about everything. And I feel like we kind of eased off some of the systematicness of it or something. But we're going to get back to that place now where we're going to get back on top of the content calendar, get back on top of the creating the systems and duplicating the systems, get back into creating more content that's just not only audio podcast, right? Focus more on video, focus more on tutorials, focus more on educational videos and things like that. that's where we're going. Back to our sweet spot. Back to the roots, basically. That's really basically how we started. Is like, we just like creating content and sharing the cool shit that we're learning. Let's just do that
again. Just do more of that.
Yeah.
It works, and we might as well just keep compounding those efforts. Yeah.
Yep.
It's fun. So, what do we got?
Round of applause?
The studio audience, they've been kind of... Yeah, I think they've been holding it in.
You're welcome.
This whole time.
You're welcome.
This whole time.
Yeah, you can sit down. Man, you can sit down.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that was a nice fade out. Yeah. Wow, you all in unison. Oh, that's pretty amazing. How'd they do that? You guys.
You guys. No, stop it. Stop it. Hey, stop it.
You're still going.
There. I cut their mics.
About time. It was making me nervous.
Anyway, sorry for having to listen to that.
Okay, I have to sign all these autographs now in our studio. Yeah. Can't ever leave.
Yeah. This is a super spreader event right here in our office.
In this one little office. yes. So what do we got now? So get the notes, get I the guess. Notes.
Flowchartgroup.com.
Get some cool strategies in there. Yeah. And get connected to all the new friends that you can meet who also listen to this podcast and hang out at the flowchartgroup.com.
Some of them might be famous.
They might be. They are.
Yeah. Some are. Some might be.
You'll never know unless you go to flowchartgroup.com and plug in your email address when it asks you to, because you'll get the notes for this episode if you're quick within 2 weeks.
And you also get to be part of a badass group. So bonus. That's right.
Famous people hang out there.
Famous people.
Yeah. Maybe Tatis.
Maybe Tatis.
One day.
Maybe.
Probably not.
Why
the hell would you want to hang out? A bunch of marketing nerds.
But maybe we can get on the podcast someday. Maybe. Someday.
One day.
Maybe.
Maybe in 15 years or something.
I mean,
when his contract's over.
Yeah.
It's going to be a while.
Once he runs out of money?
No. I didn't say that. He has a lot of money. Alrighty. So we also have Easy Webinar.
We do.
They are our fabulous sponsor.
They are.
They are all things webinars.
That's an example of a tool that we're like, I love this tool. We need to tell more people about it.
Yeah.
Going all the way back, coming, like bringing this full circle from what we talked about today. What is this move?
Full circle. Okay. Just keep talking. You're so distracted.
You're bobbleheading me. You're bobbleheading me.
Keep talking. Cut my neck it's a few perfect, times. You hear that? It's good.
It's a perfect example of a company that we're like, this is a cool company that we want to shout from the rooftops. We use Easy Webinar when we do webinars. Casey, the people behind it are amazing. The Easy Webinar platform does all of the webinar types, hybrids, lives, automated, live streams.
Yes, and many things in between that we really should button up and figure out all the nuanced things that they do, because there's some really cool like ninja behind the scenes things that we never talk about.
Yeah.
Like the crazy analytics. I know they have a massive analytics dashboard. There's all of these different landing page options. They make it easy so you don't have to like build stuff in between all the webinar stuff you're talking about.
It's true.
Because like that's the sexy stuff. It's like, ooh, I want a webinar. It's like, did you think about all the landing pages? Did you think about the automations? Did you think about the emails that get sent? Did you think about the stats and the things that
no they didn't.
Cool. Well, that's why they took care of it for you.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, just to me, just a selling point alone is that like I don't have to buy a separate live platform and a separate automated platform. Like that to me is like, what? Why? Like, why isn't every webinar company like that? But
I don't know, man.
Anyway,
well, you know what? Don't tell everybody else. Don't tell the competition.
I'm only telling our Hustle and Flowchart.
Damn listeners. Right, you are. So, what are you telling them?
Go to hustleandflowchart.com. Nope, don't go there.
Don't go there.
Easywebinar.com/hustle.
Mm-hmm.
One of these days, we will say this URL right the first time.
Well, if Matt hasn't said it already, when you go to easywebinar.com/hustle, you will get a fat discount because you are a fabulous Hustle and Flowchart listener or viewer, maybe.
Maybe, hopefully. Hopefully viewers more viewers. Now. Hi, 13 of you.
It was just one video from just a couple days ago.
I know. Some of them had 9.
Damn it. We're huge on YouTube, I thought.
We're getting there.
Thank you.
That was our YouTube fan base.
Thank you. They were so short. I mean, just
easywebinar.com/hustle. Go get it. You're going to love it.
You're going to get a big discount because you came from us. So easywebinar.com/hustle. And anything else, Matthew?
Well, what does the green button do?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that's what it does. That is not appropriate for Easy Webinar. Easy
well,
webinar.
Well, we were done. No, we already wrapped it up.
Oh, okay.
Oh. All right. Matt likes the sound effects.
You use them just as much as I do.
I know.
You're the one who used this one for no apparent reason.
Oh. I like spooky stories.
Yeah.
And it's spooky in this office because we have to turn off most of the lights to make it look really good.
Yeah.
And well, black out all the windows.
I'm just fairly confident that most people have skipped to the next episode by this point.
Yeah. But the ones that haven't, we're just wasting the rest of their days or nights.
At this point, they know we're wasting.
I don't feel good about that.
At this point, they know that we're wasting their time and they're still here.
That's you're just kind going of for them. An even hour, aren't you? On the dot. So, well, not it won't be.
It won't be because once we put the intro and stuff, it won't be.
We're already over an hour. All right.
Oh, crap.
Okay. Well, you know what? If you love this episode, or if there's something that somehow stood out to you as memorable, actionable, aha moment, you should leave it in the form of a comment or a review on iTunes. It's not called iTunes anymore. It's called Apple Podcasts.
Yes.
Maybe subscribe, hit the like button, smash the bell.
If you're watching on YouTube, yeah.
Don't hit a kitty. Yeah. You know, they're around.
Yeah.
Those cats on YouTube.
How many broken screens must there be before people stop smashing their
smashing
the bell for real? It's a form of speech. What's the word? I don't know.
This is just Big Brother wanting us all to buy more technology, more keyboards.
So when you're saying smash the like button, everybody's breaking their shit.
This is big companies wanting you to buy capital.
This is conspiracy. This Joe. Is some I like conspiracy Joe. Yeah,
this is.
We need to have a whole podcast episode with conspiracy Joe.
The stupidest conspiracies in the world come out. And just why do they smash like buttons and YouTube subscribe buttons so
it's
much?
It's a conspiracy by Big Mac.
Damn, our neighbors downstairs hate us now.
Google and Apple. Actually, we're recording this on Memorial Day. Nobody's here.
That's true. I think legitimately we have a spa underneath us.
Like full of water?
We should go walk down because we're on the second story here. But it smells like a spa sometimes over here. And I know there's one like a massage thing. Yeah, that would really suck if they're below us because
we
make a lot of noise.
We're screwing their tranquility.
We're up here yelling and telling conspiracy theories.
What's another conspiracy theory you've got?
I don't just like think about this.
You're supposed to make one up. That was the whole point.
I know. Now you put me on the spot.
Now
you put me on the spot, but I can definitely start thinking about this kind of stuff.
I think we do a.
There's got to be a Tatis conspiracy, but maybe that's not going to be most mass appeal. No, that's not mass appeal enough for.
He's an alien from a planet where everybody has superpowers.
Yes.
And he's having
to hit home runs.
And yeah, he's having to resist using his superpowers for anything but hitting home runs.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
You should draw a comic book about that.
He could be saving millions of lives, but no, he wants to hit home runs and make millions.
What a noble choice. Not. Damn, Tatis. Thought I liked you.
Yeah, well, now you know that he's...
The true story behind.
Now that he's in it for the money.
Wow. Someone's going to share this clip and it's going to go viral and then Tatis is going to be like, those Hustle and Flowchart boys.
Yeah, did we just start a beef?
True San Diego start a Padre beef? Fans.
Look at that.
I got to go on their podcast because these guys are just so cool.
All right,
and
Tatis.
We have a local studio that you could sit... Not in this channel. We'll find a better studio for three people.
All right, Tatis, if you're listening to this and you want a rebuttal,
we're listening.
We're here. Come talk to us.
I'm listening.
Yeah. Prove our theory wrong that you're a space alien with superpowers that uses your powers only to hit home runs and make money.
Bring the chop.
Prove us wrong.
Bring the chop back. That's all I'm saying.
The chopper?
The chop.
Oh, the chop.
The chop.
Oh, yeah. Why do they not do the chop anymore? Now they do like a little controller thing. Do you ever see that? He goes,
no.
Yeah. Machado does that. He goes like this. And then another guy goes like this. Yeah. But Machado does like a PlayStation controller or something.
They
like,
also do fancy hand things when they hit home runs.
Like everybody has their own handshake.
That we are not going to replicate because no. Yeah. Not doing that. So
anyway.
We got there somehow.
Yeah. So anybody who's still listening to us, you guys.
You deserve something.
Yeah.
Let us know what you deserve in the comments somewhere.
You'll get what you deserve.
I just want to hear. No, thank you very much. We should probably stop wasting your time and our time.
Yeah.
We are having fun, though.
It's not a waste of our time because we're enjoying ourselves.
We're having a good time. It's cool. But you know what? Good things have to come to an end.
So
eventually,
subscribe, like, smash Thank that you. Like button, smash that heart button, the star button, the 5-star button, all of the buttons. Press them all.
Leave all the See comments. What See what they do. Test it on our channel. It won't hurt.
Not the thumbs down one. That one does nothing it's good.
It's a bad button. Yeah. You don't touch that button.
Don't press
if that. If you button. Touch that button, just hit the back button on your browser before you hit that button.
Yeah.
That's wise advice, right?
Yeah. Stop touching one YouTuber people's hands told me that you don't.
Oh.
Well, it's a hand, right?
The thumb. Well, don't hit the up hand either.
Okay.
Matt, come on. You're complicating this. Let's get out of here.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, everybody, for listening to this episode of the Hustle and Flowchart podcast. For taking the time to listen, we want to give you something a little bit special. Every single episode that we do, we actually have somebody on our team take notes. We basically have a Cliff's Notes version of every episode where you can go and find all of the tips and tactics that they laid out, all of the resources that they laid out, all the good stuff from this episode. We actually have a nice simple notes version that you can find on our website. So go to evergreenprofits.com, find this episode that you just listened to, and give us your email address and we'll send you the notes. Thanks for listening.